This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Chris O'Brien's on his way as we speak to the Utah Fest. MJ Benias, former investigator for MUFON, Kurt Collins, our guest co-host. Now, let me ask you this, too. So MUFON's questionnaire, their training materials, they're looking for solid objects. They don't pay attention to the witness at all. Am I wrong about that? That's my perception.
I think in the MUFON Field Investigator's Manual, I think it's primarily looking at the UFO question definitely from a nuts and bolts perspective, right? If we sort of look at, you know, all of UFO discourse, you can sort of put on a spectrum. And I think sort of on opposite ends of the spectrum, you sort of have the nuts and bolts, you know, aliens who are made out of meat like you and me, and they hop in their spaceships and they fly around in their metal machines, right? And then there's sort of the other side, right? The more mystical side of the UFO experience, right? That people have the sort of the interdimensionals and light beings and all that. I think MUFON definitely focuses and caters towards this more nuts and bolts ideology. It really focuses on sort of this otherworldly aspect, as if, you know, it knows that these craft are from another planet versus something else. So I definitely think that's part of it. I think once you kind of get into the nuts and bolts side of things, I think the witness does become less important, only because the witness saw allegedly an objective object. Right? Something that exists sort of within space and time, just like your coffee table exists within space and time. So, you know, MUFON does rely on the witness. I mean, you obviously have to interview them and you obviously have to sort of put your time in with them. But the witness's experience, perhaps on the more spiritual or mystical side, is not a key factor here. At least, I think, sort of not in the Field Investigator's Manual, and maybe not officially. But again, MUFON has kind of gone down this road, and you know, like you said earlier, to put bums in seats, there might need to be more catering to this other side, this more mystical aspect of the UFO question. So, again, this is where I take issue with MUFON, is it's trying, I think, to play both sides here. I think it's trying to say, you know, we want to deal with the nuts and bolts question. We want to investigate the nuts and bolts question of UFOs. But we also, you know, want to deal with this mystical aspect of it, this interdimensional potentially, or this, you know, universal consciousness or whatever. The problem is, once you start saying that, you know, you believe in everything, ultimately you end up believing in nothing. And you cast this massive net, and clearly the people who sort of have a brain are going to look at this and say, okay, well, now, what do you stand for now, right? Because, you know, as someone who exists within the UFO culture, within the UFO community, you know, you're going to pick an ideology, right? You're going to sit there and you're going to say, you know, I believe it's this or I believe it's that. And MUFON is saying, well, we sort of believe in everything. You know, maybe unofficially, but it is starting to kind of go that route. So this is why sort of my problem exists with MUFON is, again, it's leaving sort of what it's good at and sort of maybe what it's sort of tried to build, and it's now abandoning that for other things. And again, potentially for money, potentially put bums in seats, potentially to make television shows, which are questionable. And I think this is sort of MUFON's sort of current gig. And that's not to say that I have a problem with the nuts and bolts question, nor do I have a problem with the mystical sort of side of the UFO question. I think the UFO discourse overall, the entire UFO subculture, is very democratized, is very open to significant interpretation. And really, there is no right answer right now. There's no evidence to support a right answer. So I'm not going to sit here and say all of the people who believe in interdimensional beings and all of the people who have mystical alien contact experiences or whatever, I'm not going to say they're wrong. I have no evidence to suggest that they're wrong. I can't disprove anything that they've sort of are telling me. Does it sound a little kooky? Sure. But, you know, a lot of things are kooky. I'm also not going to discount the nuts and bolts sort of more scientifically minded UFO investigators or UFO sort of researchers. Again, you know, they have no evidence to support their claims either. They have just as much evidence as sort of the kooky UFO mystics. So I'm not going to throw that baby out with the bathwater either. I think for me personally, just UFO-wise, I'm a bit of an agnostic. I don't know what I believe. And I can argue sort of both sides. I can provide, and I can probably argue for reasons why, you know, nuts and bolts is better than mystical. And then I can probably argue for why mystical is probably better than nuts and bolts. So I choose to sort of remain agnostic in this. And you know, I don't want to sort of come off sounding like I'm some, you know, debunker jerk, because I'm not. I will listen to anyone, and I will, you know, gladly hear your story, and I'll gladly, you know, I'll gladly take in sort of what you have to say. Where I draw the line is where people tell me they know things, right? Like, this is a fact. They would say, I know this is real because, you know, X. Well, if X isn't good enough, I'm going to sort of draw the line and be like, okay, well, hold on. That's not a fact. That's your opinion, or that's your hypothesis, or that's a theory-ish. But it's nothing more than that. Like, you don't have the hard data to support your claim here. So ultimately, some of this stuff you have to kind of take with, you know, it's a story or it's an anecdote, and that's fine, but make sure you admit that sort of coming in. Don't sit there and tell me it's real. Sorry, go ahead.
I'll say just one thing about MUFON, which I mentioned before, and we'll go on. And that is that MUFON's been around since 1969. It was originally a splinter group.
Right.
That split off from APRO. This is Coral and Jim Lorenzen's group. And I know that Coral Lorenzen was kind of a difficult person to get along with, so maybe that's a reason, their personality there. It was originally going to be a Midwest UFO group. Okay. Midwest UFO Network, and then later on it became Mutual because Midwest was restrictive. End of MUFON. Let's look at your chapter for UFOs Reframing the Debate. It's called UFOs and Modern Capitalism, Dissent, Disenfranchisement, and the Fringe. Now, I wanted to ask you one particular thing in the chapter, and this gets to paragraph 2. And I want to start this off because it sounds to me interesting. As I was drafting this essay, I was reminded of John Carpenter's satirical sci-fi film, They Live. That's from 1988, in which drifter John Nada, or Nada, don't remember how it was pronounced.
Nada. It's Nada.
John Nada, played by Roddy Piper. That's the wrestler, by the way. I think he's dead now, but he's a wrestler. He was trying to do what, of course, Dwayne Johnson did successfully become an actor, stumbles upon sunglasses that allow him to see the world for what it truly is. Tell us why you're using this film and its influence in connection with this chapter.
Sure. So I think when we sort of look at the world around us, and more importantly, well, not more importantly, but more specifically, when we look at the UFO question, it is fundamentally governed by ideology. It's the UFO debate, the UFO phenomenon is a phenomenon of sort of belief, and it's a phenomenon of sort of different sort of human constructed sort of constructs and mechanisms and ideologies. In the film, They Live, John Nada finds these sunglasses and he puts them on, and the sunglasses show him sort of the reality behind the illusion. They show him that, you know, his world is sort of being governed by this alien race that is sort of stripping the planet of its resources and sort of shipping it off world back to sort of their own home world. And they're basically sort of robbing humanity without humanity knowing. And these aliens have sort of placed themselves in positions of power. They're sort of the president of the United States. They're in various sort of – they're CEOs of major banks, of major oil companies, weapons manufacturers, whatever. They're sort of the people within the corridors of power. And they're sort of these – they're these perfect capitalists, right? They sort of strip the planet of everything, and they ship it back home.
Let's continue with the philosophy behind the movie They Live. MJ Benias, Gene Steinberg, Kirk Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
MJ Benias talking about his chapter for UFOs Reframing the Debate. Another fellow author is Kirk Collins. We'll talk a little bit about his contribution later. I'm looking at chapter subheads like going down the rabbit hole. So we have a situation here where it's almost like a secret government run by aliens controlling everything. And you know, in reality now, they actually have theories that there's a secret world government going on. And they could be called the International Bankers or Illuminati. But John Carpenter puts this in the hands of aliens. But how different is that from what we sometimes see as a conspiracy theory about how the world is run?
And this is sort of, I think, the point of the of my essay. I when I thought about They Live, you know, you have this man who finds these sort of magic sunglasses that allow him to see the truth, I guess, behind the lie. Shortly after the section that you read, I sort of explain, you know, ultimately there are no sunglasses. We cannot pierce sort of the veil of our own ideology. We can't leave the environment we live in. We can't leave our experiences behind. All of the sort of the social and cultural baggage that we've accumulated from birth, whether from our parents or from school or from, you know, our churches or temples or from, you know, just living within sort of a city or a rural area or wherever we are, we've sort of become inundated with ideology. We live our lives on a daily basis, totally surrounded by sort of this reality we've created for ourselves. We don't have the ability to remove ourselves from this sort of ideological world we've created for ourselves. When we start looking at the UFO question, we quickly start to bump into ideologies that oppose our popular and mainstream ideologies. You know, UFOs and the idea of the UFO and the idea of the intelligent other, the alien, is very countercultural. It throws under the bus everything sort of you and I have agreed to when it comes to how we live our lives. You know, we have sort of all agreed that, you know, it's good to have a job. We've sort of all agreed that, you know, one should buy a car and buy gasoline for that car and, you know, drive it to work every day and do these things. We've all agreed that, you know, television and cell phones or smartphones now, I guess, and the internet, these are all sort of normal things that sort of are part of real life, quote unquote. The UFO question takes all that and kind of flips it on its head. The UFO question very much challenges these social power systems and these ideologies that we have for ourselves. It challenges these constructs. And it basically says, like, you know, really? You think this is real life? And it forces us to re-examine re-examine the way we sort of deal with the world around us on a regular basis. I tied in the aspect of capitalism, only because capitalism itself has become an ideology. It really governs the way we perceive our world. I mean, and not only that, the system of capitalism sort of economically and ideologically exists worldwide. There is no country right now on this planet that functions outside of a capitalist model. You know, you have some countries that would claim they're communist, for example, China. But in reality, China is about as communist as, you know, the United States is communist. They have free markets. They have, you know, enterprise, just like, you know, the Americans do. So even sort of the biggest players on the planet who even say they're communist really aren't. They're primarily capitalist. Since we're sort of all governed by this system of thinking and this system of how we live our lives on a daily basis, because UFOs question this ideology, because UFOs kind of look at capitalism and say, you know, you're not necessarily sort of the be all and the end all. Capitalism, just by being a system, needs to place the UFO topic into sort of the fringe of culture. This is why the UFO discourse is not talked about daily on the news. It's why it's not talked about sort of regularly in conversation at the dinner table. Capitalism has done a very good job, very sort of insidiously good job of relegating the UFO subject to sort of the cultural fringe. It's not gotten rid of it totally because it can't, but it can kind of say, we're not going to talk about this. And they do this by a lot of ways, right? They do this in media. You know, every time the news covers a UFO story, you know, the X-Files music plays, the anchors, you know, grin stupidly, and they typically make fun of the people who, you know, have had UFO experiences. You know, they get Bill Nye to come on and openly attack believers in UFOs. They get, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson to show up and talk about, you know, the UFO question, or Carl Sagan back in the 70s. You know, I think you have literally this war of ideologies occurring with the UFO topic. And that's really what my essay's about. But the problem is that the UFO topic itself, the UFO discourse itself, when you and I talk about UFOs, we talk about it ideologically as well. It's not like we have the truth, for example. We don't have access to some special objective true reality or some real version of it. We're just as ideological as the other side. But it's kind of this clash of ideologies. And that's kind of what the essay tries to get through and why this is happening. And I don't want to spoil it. That's kind of a good introduction. So if you're interested in sort of political science, and you're interested in economics, and you're interested in philosophy and UFOs, this is your wheelhouse. If you're not interested in any of that, as one Amazon review says, skip it.
Well, I wanted to ask you a little bit about, well, you mentioned the reviews. So there have been some good reviews.
Oh, yeah.
There's also been some resistance from people who seem to refuse to read it. So have you read the comments from the people who've been putting the book down without reading it?
The beauty about my essay, and I'll be honest here, the beauty about my essay is it doesn't deal necessarily with sort of aliens. I don't really talk about the alien question or the UFO question in a direct sense. So my essay does not necessarily concern itself with whether UFOs are real or not, or whether aliens are real or not, or interdimensionals or not. Like, I don't really focus on that. My expertise is in culture. My academic expertise is in sort of cultural studies and theory. So I really like looking at the UFO question, not necessarily as sort of what is going on with the aliens or the UFOs. I like looking at the UFO question from sort of the human side of things. Why do we address the UFO question as a taboo question? Why do UFOs cause sort of cultural anxiety for people to the point where we don't want to talk about them in polite conversation? Why do people sort of look at you strangely when they find out that you're into this subject matter and go, oh, really, you're into that? That's kind of weird. You know, like, why is that their reaction? So this is my sort of expertise within UFO discourse. I that's kind of where I dwell. You know, I'll still talk about aliens, and I'll still talk about, you know, my hypotheses, I suppose, my opinions on the UFO subject matter, like, you know, what they are or what I think they are or whatever. But the problem is I can't really prove any of my opinions, right? I have hypotheses that I don't really have evidence for.
Well, I suppose that burst of honesty may not appeal to some of the people who are looking into ET, and perhaps some of the people who expect some sort of immediate disclosure. But so what? We've got MJ, Benias, Gene Steinberg, Kurt Collins, our guest co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
My husband says, you are what you eat. Not true, dear. I did my research. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So I didn't feel the vitamins and supplements I was taking were effective. I didn't feel any different. Then I switched to Protovite, a liquid multivitamin, mineral, and phytonutrient complex. And wow, you've got to see the video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about NuGenix.
NuGenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. With NuGenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
NuGenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME66 to 321321. NuGenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME66 to 321321.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're focusing on another contributor to the book UFOs Reframing the Debate, MJ Benias. And our co-host is someone who is yet another contributor, Kurt Collins. Kurt, do you want to continue the questioning?
Well, sure. I wanted to ask MJ about how Robbie came to find him and how the topic was chosen. Whether this was what he had asked for, or, you know, how did this come together?
You know, good grief. It was, you know, it's funny how it's been almost a year. Like, it's crazy how long it takes. You know, I think the way it worked out was I was on a podcast with Ryan Sprague, who's another contributor to this book. And he wrote his own book recently called Somewhere in the Skies. It's good. You should check it out. But I was on a radio show with him, or a podcast rather. And we started talking and this subject came up. We started sort of going back and forth on why we thought the UFO question was taboo. Why, you know, it's not talked about in sort of mainstream polite society. And I think Robbie, just by happenstance, you know, saw the link on Facebook or something, and he started listening to it, and he really sort of liked where it was going. And he sent me a message through Facebook saying, like, you know, listen to your podcast, really great, whatever. And then, it through some weird synchronicity, I had recently heard him on a podcast about his novel, or rather his book, Silver Screen Saucers. So it was almost like this weird moment where I was going to message him literally that day, and he messaged me first. And he sort of had this idea for this book, and he said, you know, would I be willing to contribute? So he just said, you know, just write me an essay you know, 5,000 words. And I was like, okay. So I sort of dove into my realm of sort of background knowledge, and I started to sort of think about the conversation Ryan and I had on his show. And it kind of just happened. I kind of just sat down and I was playing around with a whole bunch of different ideas on where I wanted to go maybe and what I wanted to talk about. And it was funny, my first topic that I was actually going to pick, so I was sitting there and I started writing it, actually. I started writing my first essay, and it never happened. It never came into existence. But I was going to argue that ufology and the study of UFOs should separate itself from the study of extraterrestrials and interdimensionals and whatever. And I sort of said the two are separate things. And I was going to try and argue that ufology has no business dealing with aliens, and the people who study aliens and sort of that side of the equation have no business dealing in ufology, in the study of, like, objective UFOs. And as I started writing it, I realized I couldn't support my thesis in any way. Like, it started becoming total nonsense, and I was like, this is a joke, so I just deleted the whole thing. And I sort of had to sit around and think about it for a few more weeks until it sort of popped into my head. And it just sort of came into existence. And I think, I don't know, I think I did a pretty good job. But that's me, and I'm the writer, so I'm pretty biased. But it just sort of happened through happenstance. I random chance.
Well, for my essay, it was an assignment. And Robbie asked me to write about the story of the Roswell slides, the investigation by the team that exposed it, and to put the whole thing into perspective. So I wrote it almost as a mystery story where you could enjoy it from a Columbo point of view. If you knew where the story was going, you would be interested in the motivation of people and how it happened. And then if you didn't, I tried to save some of it so that, you know, as it happened, you would understand it. So, but I think it's a good documentation of events. But what I intended to write instead was the way that, the UFO topic is sort of treated as a more of a marketplace, and how the ideas are treated as entertainment. And, you know, for a lot of people, that's all it is. And then I realized this case of the Roswell slides was the perfect example for this anyway. So I wound up, you know, back where I started. But I think Robbie did a great job representing a number of viewpoints. And, you know, he's mentioned that some of them are in direct opposition to one another. So I think he did a great job of collecting people. And then also the way it, you know, it's almost like the book itself is put together almost like a musical piece. And it's, there are definitely some peaks and valleys, and there's some, there's challenging. Did you find any piece in there that opened your eyes or made you angry or challenged you in any way?
One thing that sort of a lot of the pieces focused on, and this is, I think, where the book is garnering sort of significant attention, is there's a significant sort of contingent of people who sort of have basically said, you know, why do we think it's extraterrestrials, right? This sort of, there's a very sort of significant anti-ETH sort of flair to this collection of books, right? And I think a very interesting one was by Greg Bishop, where he sort of explained and extrapolated more on his co-creation hypothesis. And it actually led me to sort of explore his ideas a little further and write a few blog posts about the co-creation hypothesis from a philosophical bend, using sort of established philosophy and how potentially our perception of an intelligent other would shape it into something that you and I can see and touch and feel, right? So just to make it simple, there are no grays. You simply interpret the intelligent other to be a gray. Just sort of boil that down fast. And I found that really interesting because, again, there's a lot of established philosophy for this idea. So I found his interesting, and I wrote a bunch of blog posts about it, sort of taking his idea and trying to kind of shoot it in all these different philosophical directions. And I would say I had a lot of pushback. Like, a lot of people got really mad at me about these posts, I think, because they were questioning, you know, what the hell do you know? You were never abducted. And they were sort of all the people who sort of had alleged alien experiences sort of really fought me on that one. So I think that was a good one in that it just caused a lot of thinking and a lot of maybe opinion to come out. And that's good. You know, it caused a lot of debate and discussion to occur. So that was definitely an interesting one. But I have to be honest, I've read all of them. I've read the book. I'd be honest, they're all terrific. Like this is a collection of people who are incredibly intelligent. And even though we all disagree, and it's funny, like the vast majority of us, you know, we sort of see eye to eye on certain things, but we don't see eye to eye on everything. I think we all respect each other. I think that's one thing that sort of definitely shines, especially once we're all sort of, if we're all ever on air together on a podcast, whatever, you really find even the people who are like diametrically opposed respect each other immensely. So that's kind of another aspect of the book I really like is the authors sort of generally like each other, in most of the time.
If I had been editor of the book, I would have made room for an old essay by John Keel. I'm not really a John Keel fan at all, but have you read his piece, The Flying Saucer Subculture?
You know, I feel like I've read portions of it. I have probably read pieces of it for my personal work in my blog, but I'm not sure if I've sort of sat down and read it as one piece. I may have just sort of stripped pieces of it. So I'm going to say I haven't read it, but I have in a sense, you know what I mean?
Well, it's great. If the listeners haven't read it, that is on your required reading list, and you know it'd be a worthy addition to this book, you know, if it were to be able to be included. But one of the things that Keel did was he was there for the beginning of UFOs. He was there as a fan of Ray Palmer's Amazing Stories. He was writing the fan letters, and he saw the transition of. What would you really call it? It was sort of a mystical side of things, like the Borderland Sciences Group. He saw this develop, and you know, that came first, and then people saw flying saucers, and it sort of was all put together then Donald Kehoe, of course, went with this strictly nuts and bolts materialistic viewpoint, but there's this, at least those two parts is kind of a twin nature of UFOs that have been battling ever since, and you mentioned that the MUFON's having the struggle now.
Let's break it here, and we'll go on. Co-host Kurt Collins, I'm Gene Steinberg. MJ Banias joins us. More to come. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features and, most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000. While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity trading at a guaranteed 7 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded in the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries. And Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by June 30th at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net. Deadline for 7 cent guarantee is June 30th.
Tyler, time to go go for a family walk.
Just let me nap a little longer.
You promised we'd get more active.
I know. How come you're so ready to
go? Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where'd you get them?
I ordered them from superberries.com/radio, and right now we can get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus, we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait to try them. I'll get the dog.
I'll get the kid.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Interesting dialogue there between Kurt and MJ on the Paracast this week. Kurt?
We didn't have time for a lot of questions in the forums, but I did have one from Red. First, he says, I just bought the book. I thought the last two shows were fantastic. I enjoyed the folkloric and sociological aspects of ufology and look forward to exploring the ideas presented by the authors, some of whom are new to me. Alas, Benias is one who's new to me, so my questions are pretty basic. Was there something specific or an experience that prompted you to take a more philosophical approach to the topic of UFOs? You've kind of touched on that, but, you know, was there... was this just your background, or was there any case that challenged you, that made you really want to, you know, apply philosophy to the problem?
No, I don't think there was a specific experience. I think it's predominantly my academic background. A lot of my work in critical theory was focused on subcultures in university, so I really enjoy the study of these sort of movements that occur, right, within sort of within the fringes of mainstream culture, and UFOs are very much sort of a subculture. And I don't want to sort of come off as, you know, like, it's not UFOs aren't a subculture in the sense like it's a bad thing. We're just, you know, really the people who sort of exist within the UFO community. We're not really, you know, in the core of mainstream culture. We're definitely, you know, off to the side there. So no, I think it was just my academic background. But as I was getting into sort of the field work of investigating UFO sightings, and as I sort of started to interact with more people who, you know, had sightings, or more people who were in the field, just researchers like myself, I started to realize that we all kind of buy into the same stuff, right? We all kind of take leaps of belief or logic towards certain sort of destinations. And this is really how a subculture exists, right? It's a sort of a shared grouping of people, rather, who have a shared sort of belief system, really, if that's just to boil it down, just keep it simple. And really, the UFO community does have a shared belief system. We don't necessarily all agree with each other all the time, but we all know what everyone else is talking about, and we can at least have conversations about it because we all know what we're talking about. So that was kind of where I got interested in it, is very quickly I had established in my own mind that the UFO community is a subculture. And then from there, as I started applying kind of the philosophy and the theory that I learned in university and in my academic career to it, I started to realize how it sort of fit into sort of my background in philosophy. So that's really the reason. It's also kind of niche. I got to be honest. The other thing that kind of led me down this path is I quickly realized no one else was doing what I was doing. Like, there's not many people out there who sort of do UFO philosophy. Not many. I can maybe count on like one hand. So this was interesting for me because, again, you know, everyone's doing UFO research and it all kind of sounds the same most of the time. This was a little different. The problem with being different is no one reads you. So, you know, that's the cross I have to bear, right? You know, I'm not going to sort of have the same following as the Richard Dolans and the, who's that Greek guy from Ancient Aliens? whatever, you know, I'm not going to have that kind of following because I'm not really going down the same path that they are, which is the path to fame and glory and money and, you know, I don't know what else, being at conferences. I don't know. It's a little more niche. I'm the niche within the niche. That's why I chose it, I guess.
Well, I've got a few more submitted questions here. If we can continue. Jeremiah Duggar asks, you often take a philosophical approach to UFOs, and this may be a question about epistemology, the difference between knowledge and belief. And before we go on with the question, you know, do you have any anything to, you know, just as far as epistemology, there's so how do we know what we know about UFOs?
That is a big question, right? And, you know, do we have objective knowledge on the UFO question? Like, do we actually possess sort of anything that we can fundamentally say is objective that exists outside of our interpretation? You know, there's not much, you know, there's not much sort of smoking gun evidence out there. So, you know, if I had to sort of put a number, which this is very, I'm being very philosophically lazy here, but if I just sort of place a number on, you know, knowledge versus belief here, I would probably say the UFO question is maybe 2% knowledge and 98% belief. Because what we do have is very limited. It's fundamentally, I think, a system of belief, the UFO question. So it's a system of ideology. And ideologies, and there's tons of them. So maybe that's kind of where I would stand on that.
Now, it sounds to me here, MJ, that the field consists in large part of people reinforcing each other's belief.
Of course. I mean, the whole UFO debate is this constant, not only reinforcing belief, but just reinforcing the ideologies that exist within those beliefs, right? That it's, you know, aliens from another planet, or there's multiple races, or there's conspiracy theories, or there's a secret space program, or there's, you know, secret government organizations that are reverse engineering alien technology that crashed in Roswell in 1947. Like, these are all ideologies. These are not sort of objective ideas, or sorry, objective sort of truth claims that someone can make. It's a system of beliefs, right? And we have to take a lot of leaps in logic to get from, you know, one step of the equation to the next in the UFO question. So, of course, yeah, there's tons of reinforcement. The fact that Roswell is still talked about, I think, is a great example of that. You know, really, what objective knowledge do we have concerning Roswell? Epistemologically, what do we know about Roswell? Not very much. If you really look at the actual hard evidence, you know, what do we have in hand that we can wave in front of everyone and say, look what we have? And what have we built for ourselves? What are the stories we've told ourselves? What are the reinforced beliefs and ideologies that we've made for ourselves that have made Roswell something? Roswell is this beautiful example of ideology gone awry. you know, nobody really cares that we don't have, like, the crashed flying saucer from Roswell on public display. No one could care less. It's the fact that we believe it's happening, right? And our belief that it happened, or our belief that this sort of conspiracy exists or whatever it is, that has made it true. At least ideologically true. Maybe not objectively true.
Well, we've been disassembling Roswell quite a bit over the past year on this show. And I know that Kevin D. Randall, who once was a devout Roswell believer, has recanted some of his certainties.
Well, you know, the problem is this. I talk about this in a blog post, my most recent blog post. I don't talk about Roswell, but I talk about sort of the UFO question as being hyper real, especially when it comes to aliens. And I think what we've done with Roswell is we've made Roswell a hyper reality. We can't separate the fact or the facts of Roswell from the stories about Roswell. We can't separate them at all. They've become one thing. So when we talk about Roswell, anytime we say the word Roswell, we automatically bring to the table all of this baggage with us that Roswell has, from you know, Nick Redfern's most sort of, you know, recent thing, that it's some sort of it was like a Japanese test pilots or something. I don't remember what his book was, but he makes the claim that it was like a, you know, Operation Paperclip in a sense, but, you know, with post-war sort of Japanese POWs or something, all the way to a crash flying saucer, all the way to Project Mogul and it's just a balloon, all the way to, you know, the fact that Roswell was not even a thing. Nothing happened at Roswell. It actually didn't happen there. It happened, you know, at Dulce. So, you know, we have all of these different theories and ideas and these stories, and really that's all they are. They're stories about what happened at Roswell, and we can't separate those stories from the reality of the situation, the capital R reality of the situation. The stories have become the reality, and this is why Roswell is sort of hyper-real. It's because it doesn't matter what actually happened at Roswell. It really doesn't. Not anymore.
Right. Let's get into more of that in our next segment. We've got MJ Benias, Gene Steinberg, Kurt Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.